Today is June 13th, 2019.
Awesome.
Yep.
We got a nice sunny day.
Yep. Nice, here in California.
Nice waterfall behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are talking about how to deal with rejection.
Ouch. Rejection.
Yeah. Have you been rejected recently?
I've been rejected quite often.
Quite often?
In different kinds of ways. And it definitely never feels good, but I think you get used to it.
Okay.
And I think you start to realize that it isn't about you. Or it is, a lot of the time, it isn't always about you. And you have to almost see it that way to kind of keep going, or else it hurts too bad. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, today we're going to talk about that, how to deal with rejection, maybe give you guys some examples of how we dealt with it. Because in life, that's what's going to happen. If you try something, you're going to get rejected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start? You want to begin with the...
maybe a recent example? If you have a recent example?
I'm trying to think of one.
I can think of one recent one for me. Is when I was doing kind of like door-to-door sales, right?
Yeah.
So I was trying to pitch a product, a cold brew that I made with a business partner to see if any local businesses would be interested in having our product or serving their product to their customers, right? Mm-hmm. And so we went to this bagel shop, right? We walked in, we greeted the staff, we asked them how they're doing, they told us about their menu, and then we asked if the owner was in. And she said, yes, that's the owner right there. And we introduced her, said, oh, hey, how you doing? Have you guys thought about having cold brew? We noticed you didn't have cold brew on the menu. And she was like, oh, no, thank you, not interested. She literally shut us off, without even wanting to hear us out, right? And then we're like, oh, why not? And then she just kind of said, oh, no, it's okay. And then we literally just got flat out rejected. It felt really awkward because it was just what do we do from here? So we just said, okay, all right, thank you.
Was she even open to trying a sample?
Just no.
To see what it's about?
No.
She wasn't even open?
No.
Wow, what a savage.
No, she was not. And so we just walked out. We walked out and we went to the next one, right after. We didn't really think about it. We were kind of just maybe that's not what she's looking to have in her business. On to the next one.
In the back of your mind, though, did it irk you a little bit at the time or later on in the evening, the day, that you're wondering why?
Maybe for 10 minutes after the rejection, I'm what could we have done better to have increased our chances is more of what I was thinking. But I didn't really ponder on it too much because we had a lot of success after that. So I didn't really think too much of it.
Okay.
But, that was a recent time.
Yeah.
It definitely stung in the moment. But, if you just forget about it and keep going, it, tends to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm a proponent of just saying screw you and moving on. I'm actually a pretty big proponent of reflect on it for a little bit. See what you could have done better.
That's good.
And learn from that rejection and learn from that mistake. Why was it a no? Because I think the title of this topic could very much be misconstrued to forget about it. Move on. There's nothing you could have done. But, maybe there is something you could have done better to approach it in a different way to get a better result.
Mm.
So it is still important to reflect on it, which, we do. Ed, my business partner and I, we talked about it. We tried to figure out how could we have better approached it? What could we have done better? Why do we think she said no?
Mm.
And then, if we did everything we could control, then hey, it's not our fault,
Definitely.
That's probably the most recent time for me.
I like your approach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before I share mine, I'm going to elaborate
what I
got out of your approach to dealing with rejection. I think oftentimes we'll do one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
We will completely discount it,
mm-hmm.
just to shut it out, forget it, because we don't want to kind of...
You're protecting your ego at that point.
Yeah,
yeah.
The defense mechanism comes up,
yep.
right? You don't
yep.
want to savor the flavor of the rejection.
Yeah.
You know, no one does.
Yeah.
Or you go on the opposite spectrum, which is you overly embrace it. You take it too heavy-heartedly,
mm.
and you can't really let it go. It just bothers you and irks you,
yeah.
you know? But I like the approach that you took, which is less common, which is I'm neither going to treat it as a horrible thing, but I'm also not going to completely just ignore it. I'm going to do something in the middle, which is kind of reflect on it objectively, like, why did it happen? Instead of taking it personally, you just looked at it objectively.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I got out of your example.
Yeah, 100%. I think with a lot of things, you can look at it objectively. And I think that's the only thing you can control, right? Like when you look at it objectively, it's like you can't really control the outcome, but you can objectively control your behavior and try different kinds of approaches to get a better result,
mm.
right? And ultimately, you're going to find an approach that's going to give you a better result. So you might as well like try different kinds of ways of doing things rather than trying the same thing over and over again and wondering why you keep getting rejected. You get what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Take different approaches.
Yeah,
basically.
For sure.
Yeah.
But what about you?
I thought of an example. It's not
yeah.
quite as professional.
Yeah,
yours.
Sure. No,
it's
yeah.
something very small, very basic. I recently got a new sous vide machine. You know what it's like, one of those tubes. A sous vide is basically like a machine that heats up water
mm-hmm.
at a lower temperature than you would like than boiling water. And
oh,
and
the thing that cooks food.
Cooks food evenly.
Yeah.
You kind of put it in a plastic bag. You can seal it up, and then
mm-hmm.
you basically sous vide things like fish, steak, you know, eggs,
mm-hmm.
whatever kind mm-hmm. of meat or poultry that you want,
mm-hmm.
And it tenderizes it.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of this was I wanted to make a sous vide steak for my mom,
mm-hmm.
right? Because she, I don't think, has ever really tried sous vide things, at least not knowingly.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of share that experience with her, like
mm-hmm.
cook a meal for her. But when I, long story short, I prepped the meal, and it usually takes a while to prepare sous vide. It's not like grilling like food where you just pan sear it for a few minutes and it's
mm-hmm.
done. Like when you use
sous vide,
it could take up to 1 hour to 2 hours. Some people even go extreme in sous vide meat for like 4 to 6 hours.
Crazy.
To really tenderize and catalyze the flavors in
mm-hmm.
the meat. But yeah, so I got like 2 pieces of ribeye, prime ribeye, very nice cuts of meat, and then I basically sous vide it for a good 2 hours, seasoned it and everything, and it's a lot of prep work,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you want to make sure you get the right kind of flavor profile and the right kind of sear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost making this sound like a cooking show, but I promise you it's not a cooking show.
Yeah.
But when I finished making the final product, you know, I presented it to my mom, and I said, like, Mom, like, let's have a dinner, you know.
Yeah.
Let's kind of sample and try out this new way of cooking that I've
yeah.
discovered recently myself.
Yeah.
And she kind of just said, "No, I don't want to." Right? And I said, "Are you sure? Like, do you not even want to take a bite just to see? Like, I know that you like tender." She it's harder for her to chew.
Yeah.
Because she's getting older in age, but like, she's not that old, but. But, like, she does not like to chew on very, very, like, hard stuff, like beef jerky or
yeah.
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I thought sous vide's perfect,
yeah.
right? But then she's just like, nah, I don't want to.
Did she eat already or?
She didn't.
Oh.
That was the weird part.
Yeah.
Maybe she was intermittent fasting. I don't know.
But
it was, like, 6 p.m. And I thought that was a pretty reasonable like eating time.
Sure.
Because you know? She
yeah.
usually sleeps by, like, 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Right? And I just thought, wow, like. It feels – it's not the traditional kind of rejection that you get from, like, a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost feel like it's like – it's worse when it's your own family,
yeah.
you know? It's like your own family is supposed to accept, like the things that you do
yeah.
more than other people, right? And, like, we try not to care about people's opinions, but, like, your own family members' opinions, like, they do stick to you more than the, like – then let's say a stranger walks in, like, I don't want to try your food.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, whatever, move on.
Yeah, yeah.
But for her, I was just like, would you not want to, like, even at least try, like, one bite?
Well, hold on, question. Has she had a negative previous experience with your cooking?
Not that I can recall. I don't think so, dude.
Okay.
I think
it's, that might affect why she rejected.
maybe. Yeah. But no. Now I know why. The reason why I reflected it, I didn't know during that time, but now that we're talking about this, I think one of her biggest pet peeves is she feels that when you cook food, you shouldn't have any plastic involved in it. But the nature of sous vide stuff is you need a sort of plastic wrap.
Oh, I see.
You know, to seal in the flavor, to prevent water from touching the actual food that you're cooking.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so she felt like it's carcinogenic. You know, it's plastic. You're trying to kill me.
Yeah.
You know, and I tried to persuade her, but she just wasn't really having it.
Sure.
But like, at first, I felt really, really hurt because it was like, wow. I put in like 2+ hours of effort to make this dinner, and we're gonna have a dinner and we're gonna have a conversation.
Yeah.
But then you just flat out just like, nah, I don't want to try it. Like, whatever. And she's not even vegetarian, you know. Yeah. Like, if you're a vegetarian and you told me that, like, I respect that, you know, it's your belief system. But it was kind of like, you know, it's kind of bummed me out. But then when you reflect, kind of like you said, like, find out why the person rejects you, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you see things as they are, not worse than it actually is,
mm-hmm.
then it'll allow you to accept the reality and move on much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality was, her fear was a lack of understanding of how plastics are produced nowadays. Because, mm-hmm. like, there are a lot of companies that are aware of that fear of plastic, you know, being overheated, causing negative chemical reactions.
Yeah.
But the bag I was using was BPA free.
Okay.
Yeah. So I kind of went on a tangent there, but
interesting. And it's lower heat, right?
It's lower heat. You're basically sous vide between like temperatures of maybe like 125 degrees Fahrenheit to like 140 at the most degree Fahrenheit.
Interesting.
So it's basically like if you were to go to Palm Desert, you know, on a summer hot day, that's basically the temperature. Except you just leave the meat in the water at that temperature for 2 hours and it'll cook the meat.
Interesting.
But it leaves it, it retains the flavor and the juices, so it doesn't dry up the meat that you eat. And the water breaks it down evenly in a way that you can't achieve by baking or deep frying or like pan searing stuff.
I see. This is a commercial.
This is a commercial for a sous vide machine, so
it's not really, but
it's not. But but for those of you that haven't tried it, check it out. But going back to the topic of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that it's so hard for people to deal with rejection? Why is it so scary? You know, we know it's instinctively bad.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it depends on the scenario, but I think a lot of the times it's because of the fear of embarrassment.
Okay.
That's like one, because they don't want to feel embarrassed, which then ultimately leads to your ego of like not wanting to feel, you know, any less than what you think you are, right? And when you get rejected, we automatically make that conclusion thinking that we are less, or that maybe we aren't good enough, or that, you know, when someone says no to you, that it's about you, right?
Mm.
And then the ego gets involved. So I think we fear rejection for that. But I think even on like on a primal level too, it's like being accepted into a group means survival too. And on that deep rooted thing, it's
so
like,
so it's like almost like a survival mechanism.
I think so. Like you want, people want to feel like they're accepted, right? People want to feel like they're a part of a community, or they're a part of a group, or they have a connection with someone else, right?
Right.
And I feel like that's why sometimes disagreements or arguments or things like that can feel uncomfortable. Kind of like deep down inside, like you're still going to feel uncomfortable about it, right?
Right.
And I think rejection falls along a similar line where it's like there is no like common ground, right?
Mm.
And it feels less safe than it does with being accepted. So I think on a primal level, there has something to do with it. I really don't know the science behind that, but I think on a primal level, we all want to be accepted, right?
You don't want to be an outcast, right?
Yeah, you don't want to be outcast.
Because like on a tribal level, if you're left out of the tribe, your chances of survival are like a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's kind of what you're alluding to.
Yeah. And I think rejection too has a lot to deal with shattering your expectation, because like when you're asking, your hope is a certain outcome, right? And when that outcome isn't what you expected, that's when you start to feel disappointment. That's when you start to feel sad. That's when you start to like, you know, feel bad about the entire rejection experience. But if you go in with like no expectation, then
you can't really be rejected.
Correct.
Because there's no outcome that you desire.
Exactly. So the only, I guess, reason you feel rejected is because you have an expectation of an outcome and you're attached to that, or you fantasized it, or whatever it might be.
You visualized it, but it didn't happen.
Correct. Yeah.
That's a very good way of putting it, actually. It's not even, because I was going to say it may have been about like, we just take it personal because we associate the self-worth and we associate the rejection as a rejection of us as a human being.
Yeah, a lot of the times it's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of times it could actually just be a rejection of the idea, right? I don't have a rejection about you. I just have a rejection about maybe the product that's being placed or maybe the steak that's being cooked for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we so oftentimes like get carried away and we want to attach more importance on the expectation than is actually there.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. Yeah. 100%. It's hard, you know? And I think it's just the nature of being a human being, you know? Like, I don't think there's someone who likes to be rejected very often.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's obviously something going wrong there if you're getting rejected all the time.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, like anything, you can always flip it into a positive. If you choose to, you can take rejection as an opportunity to learn, you know, to learn that, oh, maybe that approach didn't work. I got to try a different approach, right? So using it as a learning opportunity, I think, is probably the most positive way to deal with rejection. Because I don't think there's any way you can prevent it, you know?
Yeah.
There's very little way that you can prevent it. Unless you're doing something that is very, very safe and you're not taking risks, right? I think at that point, you know, maybe there's a chance you won't get rejected, you know? But it's like, you're not really taking a chance. You almost need to take a chance to be rejected, you know?
Yeah, it's almost not worth it to be in that safe zone.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to add to this?
I think that's about it. If you ever dealt with a crazy rejection, you know, let us know in the comments or send us an email. We love to kind of hear your guys' stories. And, you know, if you're having a hard time trying to get through it, we're here to support you. Hopefully you found some valuable nuggets inside of this podcast and can use it maybe in the future or even now if you're going through, you know, an emotional place after getting rejected. It happens to all of us. We all get rejected.
None of us are above it. So we'd love to hear you guys share your stories.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, if you like to hear more content like this and would like to be notified when we post some new content, hit that subscribe button. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that bell icon and that you'll get notified the next time we post a video. If you're listening on a podcast, we'd appreciate if you left a review. It's how we find more listeners like yourself, or how listeners like yourself find us. And
also how we share more topics that are relevant to what you guys want to hear.
Exactly. Anything else to add to?
That's pretty much it.
All right. Till next time. Thanks, guys.